Yeah, buddy. Hey, I love this group right here. Swear to God, I swear. Let's give it up for Angelica. That was good. I'm an alcoholic. My name's Rob. Can you hear me? Okay. My sobriety date is July 11th, 2006. I've been sober 6 years, 1 month, 5 days. But who's counting? And my home group is BPYPG. What do you say? I mean, come on. It's your cousin, if you didn't know. Yeah. Okay, are we going to have fun, or are we just going to... I can go dry, or I can go fun, you know, you tell me. Yeah, I can get real serious. The new guys are going, be serious, this is not a fucking laughing matter. I remember being new, and shit was not funny when I got here, I'll tell you that much. And I remember sitting in this group, my home group, which was Monday Night Madness. It used to be Monday Night Men's. And I remember these guys are laughing. And I said, you know, this is no laughing matter here. You know, we have a serious illness here, and we better get down to business. And so I would come in, and I would study this thing like with a seriousness like no other. So that's why I'm up here trying to kind of have some fun with this thing, because it ain't like that no more. You know what I mean? It's serious to get sober, but we got to have fun. And one of my buddies asked, "Are you nervous?" And I wasn't nervous till I got up here. And I'm a little nervous, but I'll be all right in about 30 seconds. That's how long I'm going to give myself. I can do that. I was brought up in Rockville, Maryland. I drank. I had fun. Okay, it wasn't always bad stuff. Thank you. Thanks, Nikki. YPG, man, just all about service, man. I love this stuff. And it wasn't always bad, you know what I mean? When I first started drinking, things were good. I mean, I was a partier, you know? I didn't, like, drink to mask anything. It was just, it worked for me, man. It made me social. It made me have fun, and I partied, you know? I didn't look at it as, like, a bad thing. I thought it was the right thing to do. You know, all my heroes partied, so I partied like my heroes. And it went pretty good for a little while, and every once in a while, I'd have a consequence show up, you know? So every once in a while, like, getting arrested, you know what I mean? But it was never because of the drinking. You know, when I would get arrested, it was always because I was hanging out with Billy. You know, Billy's a bad influence, you know what I mean? So I would solve that problem, you know what I mean? Not by giving up booze, but by giving up Billy, because Billy's bad. And, you know, I remember one time getting a DUI, and I remember I was drinking gin, and so I knew that gin was bad, so I switched from gin to something else, you know what I mean? Because gin is what gets you DUIs. But then I got another one like 10 days later, and I had to figure that one out. So, but it's never the booze, you know? It's always like something besides the drinking that's the problem, but not the booze, because I didn't want to give that stuff up. I loved it. And eventually what would happen is I would get in some trouble and maybe get on probation or whatever, and you know, get off, you know, because I'm a doer. You know, if you tell me what to do, if you say, do this, 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 and this, I'll get it all knocked out. You know, I go up to the PO and be like, you know, and they'd be like, oh, you're doing so good, you criminal. You know what I mean? But, I'm able to do that kind of stuff, you know, and I get off, and, you know, then I get back on, I get off, get back on, get off. And eventually I was just on probation, like, forever, you know, forever. And, but it wasn't because of the booze, you know what I mean? That was because of incidents, you know, taillights being out and shit like that, not drinking. And it's funny that I had to do some stuff just recently that involved my criminal record, and I'm looking at my criminal record, and I'm like, holy shit, it's all about booze, you know, booze, dope, booze, you know, but it's always about that stuff, you know. And but I promise, when I was doing dope, I was drinking. Okay, yeah, you know, I'm gonna keep singing this. But I was always, you know, who gives a shit, you know? someone always comes up to me after this and critiques me anyway. So you know what? Fuck it. I'm gonna say what I want to say. I'm gonna cuss. Because someone always gives me shit, even if I'm real careful about it. So I'm not gonna be that careful tonight. Because I like you guys, you know what I mean? But funny. That new guy's like, that motherfucker, man. I knew he was going to go up there and start it. But, you know, and it's like that, you know. It's good shit. Maybe I should become a comedian, you know. I never thought of that. That's a new one, yeah. The one guy's like, he's not that funny. He's not. And so, anyways, I go on, you know, and I can manage, though. You know what I mean? I can drink and I can manage. And it's not that bad, you know. Probation's not that bad. Paying the fines is not that bad. Lawyer fees, that's not that bad. I can hang on to that. It's kind of worth it, you know, to me. It's worth it. And booze was like my cure-all. Although I didn't know that until I got to AA. Booze was good when things were going good. Booze was good when things were going bad. It's not, I don't drink because of bad things, you know, but I didn't know that until I got to AA. I really didn't know that. I just drink, you know what I mean? And I was a Washington Redskins fan, and I heard one of my favorite speakers say it. I drank when the Redskins were winning. I drank when the Redskins were losing, which they did a lot of. And I drank when it was tie game until they're winning or losing. I just drink. I don't drink because of situations. And I had to learn that in AA, you know, because I thought that alcoholism was a causal situation. In other words, I thought that people who had bad lives drank. I didn't understand that alcoholics drink. You know what I mean? I didn't understand that. And so I go a few years and, you know, eventually I have a child, you know, and so I said to myself, you know, I'm having a kid. This is 15 years ago. I decided, you know what? I better get my shit together because I got this kid now. So that was my first real trip. I'd already been to AA just to hang out because they used to have these dances up there and there was a lot of hot chicks, kind of like this room tonight, you know what I mean? And but I, you know, I was kind of attracted to that, so I was like, kind of, you know. And so I go to these dances and but that it didn't stick, you know. I don't get this 12-step shit. I don't get this Bill Wilson, all this stuff, all these names, Bill, Bob, Doctor, this, all these names, you know, all this history and stuff. It doesn't make much sense to me. Plus, I wasn't that interested in it anyways. You know, I didn't really want to get sober at the time. I didn't really have a reason to get sober at the time. And but I had this reason for this kid. You know what I mean? So I go to AA, and used to belong to this home group up there in Washington, D.C., which a lot of you guys probably know about and or know of this group. And it was fun, man. I'm talking about fun. And we had a beach house. We had all kinds of cool stuff. We used to pool our money together. We do all kinds of cool stuff, hang out all the time. We made it into Newsweek one time, you know, for being there, if you've heard about it. It was fun, you know what I mean? And a lot of fun, cool stuff happened around there. And it kept me sober. Like she said, fear kept me sober. You know, excitement kept me sober. I love that stuff. And it kept me sober for a little bit. But not long enough. You know what I mean? It wasn't that fun. You know what I mean? And so I went back to my lifestyle and all that stuff. Then I had another kid. You know, and I figured, well, now I better get my stuff together. You know, so I start to, you know, go back to AA again, blah, blah, blah. You know the story over and over again. Repetition, boom, over and over. And I keep doing this thing. I'm always quitting, you know, quitting for other reasons besides the fact that I wanted to quit, but I didn't want to quit, you know, and I wanted to quit because I thought it was the right thing to do. And so then I get married, so I think, well, I get married, I better quit now. And that didn't happen. So anyways, around 2005, it starts hitting the fan, you know what I mean? I'm starting to dabble in all kinds of stuff. It's a progressive illness, so not only do I have to take booze into my system, but I have to put other chemicals in there to enhance it, if you know what I'm talking about. I don't know if you get that, but because it's just AA, and I know y'all don't do drugs, but I got to enhance it, you know, and I'm going on, and it kind of speeds it up if you get my drift, you know, and it sped up the progression, and things got really bad, and I got to a point where I couldn't stop, and I would go days and days and days, and it got bad. I mean, it got to the point where I started doing things I never said I'd do. I was pretty much a moral character, somewhat, you know what I mean? But I start to, like, lower my standards of what I will and won't do. And I start stealing and hiding money and doing other kinds of stuff and crazy stuff that I never did before. And eventually what happened was some people found out about this, and I'm staying out days on a time, and I have kids, by the way, I mentioned that, and the state gets involved, and they're like, we need to talk to you. And I said, well, I'm a little busy right now. You know, I was busy doing what I was doing at the time, you know, putting that stuff in my body. And they said, well, no, you don't understand, we need to talk to you right now. I said, I'm busy. And I got that kid taken away from me. And it hit something in me, man. It crushed me. And it hurt me bad. And so what I do in this situation, since it's a cure-all, is I put that booze in me. And I started to try to do that, and it stopped working. There wasn't enough. And so I decided I was going to get help. So I said, well, I'm going to come up with my game plan. And I came up with this game plan where I was going to buy some drug tests and make a commitment to my family. And, you know, I came up with this great plan. And they said, might be best you go to treatment. Oh, shit, that doesn't go along with the game plan. That's not part of it. And they're like, well, we're going to go. So I go to treatment. And I learned a lot of stuff, you know. I learned a lot of stuff. I had to unlearn a lot of stuff. And I'm not going to come up here and bash treatment centers because I work in a treatment center. And I think treatment has a place in our... whatever. It has a place. Is anybody from my work here? All right. So, oh shit, it's being recorded. Great. I'm just kidding. Thank you. And so, anyways, I... oh shit. So, I go through that thing, and I get out, and I know now that I'm never going to touch that stuff again. I mean, I know it. They gave me all the tools I had, all the tools I needed. They prepared me, and I committed to this thing. And I remember walking out, looking back, and saying, I'm never going to be doing that stuff ever again. I know it. Jumped in the car, left, and about 2 weeks later, I'm back doing the same old thing. And things start getting bad. You know, now things really start getting bad. And when I say that, by this point, my wife's ready to leave me. I've got the truck repossessed. I no longer have a way to make money. I no longer have customers. I owned a business. I no longer have customers. I'm not allowed to see either one of my children. And things are bad. But things gradually got worse. Like Bill Wilson talks about. When he talks about that part where he talks about living with his in-laws and all this stuff. And then he goes, and then things got worse. I can relate to that, you know. Because shit was bad and then things got worse. And what got worse for me was this inside deal with me. And I was going to AA, I had a sponsor, and I was getting drunk and going to meetings and picking up chips. And if you've ever done that, which I know you guys have never done that, but I did it, and it's brutal. I mean, it touched something in me, and it crushed me. And it the guilt and shame that comes along with that and the what it does to your self-esteem is absolutely mind-boggling. And I don't remember my last drink. I don't remember my last week of drinking. I don't remember that. But I know what it felt like to know in everything that I had, in everything inside of me, that I know what it's like to know that I'm the biggest piece of shit in the whole world. And that's what it felt like at the very end there. And it was brutal. And I remember my last day before getting sober, as I was laying on the couch, and my wife walked by and she said, "How you doing?" And I go, "I just want to fucking die." And I did. And I meant that. I wasn't saying it for sympathy. I wasn't saying it for a show. I wasn't saying it to make her feel sorry for nothing like that. I meant it. I wanted to die. And so that night I had court the next morning, a custody hearing for that child that got taken out of my custody. And that night I prayed to God and I said, "You know what, God? If you're real, then you'll either get me out of this mess or don't wake me up." And I woke up the next morning, and the first word out of my mouth was F. It was fuck. Show off, you know what I mean? And anyways, so it comes out of my mouth, and because I knew at that point that there was no such thing as God. Because one, I knew I had to go to court that day, and I knew it wasn't going to be fun. So he didn't clear up everything, and the sun didn't come out, and he didn't fix everything. And two, he didn't kill me. So I knew there was no God. I gave God the ultimatum. He should have listened to me. You know what I mean? And arrogant. So, but here's the funny thing is that he actually answered the prayer, just not on my time. And I didn't know that. I had no plans of getting sober that day. I had no plans of turning my will and life over to the care of God as I understood it at the time. I had no plans of that. I didn't plan on calling my sponsor. I didn't plan on going to a meeting. I didn't plan on calling my buddies. I didn't plan on doing any of that stuff. I planned on going to court, facing the music. And what I thought was going to happen was the worst thing that was ever going to happen to me. So I go to court, I'm in court, and they say, "How's Rob doing?" "Not so good." He came up positive on a test, and the judge is about to take my kid away from me. And my lawyer says, "Hold on, let me talk to him out in the hallway." So we go out in the hallway, and he goes, "Look, buddy, it might be best that you give up your parental rights and let them take your kid. And then later on, when you get yourself cleaned up, you can get the kid back." And I said, "You know what? Let me call my buddy." And I was going to call my sponsor. I remember hearing in these meetings, he said, "If you're going to make a big major decision, to call your sponsor." I don't know why I did that. I never did nothing this dude asked me to do. But for some reason, I thought, I better call this dude. So I call him. And at the time, my sponsor's name was John. Today, my sponsor is Wayne Ivey, in case, you know, if you want to blame somebody for all this, go blame Wayne. So I call this guy, and I said, hey, John, I've been drinking. He said, yeah, no shit. And I thought to myself, damn, how the hell did he know? You know what I mean? He said, no shit. I said, listen, they want me to sign this piece of paper. It's about my parental rights, all this stuff. What do you think I should do? He goes, I don't give a shit what you do. I could care less. So that's not what I do. That's not what a sponsor does. Now, if you want to get sober for good and for all, that's what I'm here for. I can help you do that. But as far as that signing that piece of paper, I don't care what you do. And I said, John, I got a problem. I can't get sober. And he goes, yeah, no shit. That's what I've been trying to tell you this whole time we've been working together, is that you can't get sober, but that we can help you find out and find out how to get sober. He said it in his own words. And I said, man, that's all great and all that stuff, but I don't even know how to do it. He goes, you don't need to know how to do it. He said, would you be willing to do anything I ask you to do? I said, I'll do whatever you ask me to do. He said, good. Get on the phone, call your buddies, let them know that you've been drinking and go into these meetings with them. And I said, I'll do it as soon as I get out of court. He goes, do it on the way up to the courtroom. I said, okay. So I started calling my buddies, and I called Paul up, and I said, Paul, I've been drinking and going to these meetings. Yeah, no shit. We'll see you tonight. I'm thinking, wow, man, these fucking people at AA are cool. I'm thinking, when I tell them, they're going to hate me. They're never going to talk to me. I've been jeopardizing their recovery and all this stuff. And he's like, yeah, okay, cool. We'll see you tonight. Click. And I'm like, shit, man, that was easy. Call my other buddy, Ted. Well, Ted, of course, is not going to like this. Ted, I've been drinking and going to those meetings with you. Okay, man, we'll see you tonight. Welcome back. Glad you're telling the truth. Like, wow, I like this. You know, so I start doing what this guy's asking me to do. And one of the things he asked me to do was be open-minded. I said, I got a problem with that, John. See, I'm not open-minded. He said, you know what you should do is pray for open-mindedness. And I said, I got a problem with that, John. I don't like God. And if I did like God, I don't believe in God. He said, okay. And he said, do you believe that God's the one who got me sober? I said, sure, John. God got you sober. Yippee. You know what I mean? Great. That's nice. Okay, good. Then you start praying to my God. And he saw the look in my eyes. He goes, you said you were willing to go to any lengths, right? I said, yeah, sure, whatever. You know. So I would go to these meetings, and they'd have that moment of silence, and I'd say, dear John's God, who I don't like and who I don't believe in, please help me be open-minded. And I know that sounds funny, but today I still somewhat do that prayer. I don't pray to John's God, but I still ask God to help me be open-minded, because if I'm not, I got the same deal I came in here with, and I can do that. I can get to a meeting and know everything. You know, I can finish your sentences when you're up here talking and all that stuff. So I got to ask God, you know, on a daily basis to help me dumb down. That's what my new sponsor tells me. Anyways, so dear John's God, help me be open-minded. Help and the crazy thing happened is that I'm sitting in this freaking meeting, the looniest meeting I've ever been in my life, Monday Night Madness. It used to be Monday Night Men's. It was absolutely an insane meeting. If you've been, those are the guys who do the whoop whoop. Lunatics, right? My name's Rob. I'm an enthusiastic bastard. Whoop, whoop, right? That kind of thing in the beginning of the meeting. And they do all these other chants, and they add all these different rules, and they do all kinds of crazy shit. You got to be sponsoring somebody to share and all this stuff. And I thought, these fucking ego bastards are gone. And me and Paul used to go there. Paul and I ran together when I first got sober, and we went to a gazillion meetings. One time we did a half a dozen meetings in one day. You know what I mean? That kind of stuff. 240 meetings in 90 days. You know? And so we go to this meeting, and these guys are doing all this crazy shit, and there's this lunatic in the back with these little glasses on, and he was short and goofy and like 60 years old and hanging out with us younger guys. Not young like you guys, but yeah, we were kind of young, all right? Guys, right? And this dude's like, I do that little prayer, that open-minded prayer, and this dude in the back said, drinking's not your problem. If drinking's your problem, stop drinking. Problem solved. And I thought to myself, what the fuck is that? Because I never heard that. I never heard that. At any meetings I was at. They probably said it, but I didn't hear that. So this guy's saying that, and I'm like, what is this shit? You know, this drinking's not your problem. If drinking's your problem, stop drinking. Problem solved. He said, drinking's not your problem. Drinking is the solution. He said that you're a one-trick pony. You got one solution. It solves all your problems. It's the only solution you have. But here in AA, we offer another solution. And I thought, and I let it sink in for a second. I said, mother, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Hell yeah, that is what I'm talking about. That's what I needed to hear. Because I knew you all were full of it because I come to AA, and this is what I heard up until this point. Come to AA, everything will get better if you stop drinking. And see, that was not my experience. I came to AA, and when I stopped drinking, things got worse. I'm 2 whole weeks sober. You know what I mean? 2 whole weeks sober, and my life is crazy inside here. I still know I'm the biggest piece of you-know-what. I still cuss at 2 weeks sober. Right? Way to be an example, Rob. Anyways, so this dude's telling this story, and he says, we have a solution here, and if you knew the solution, you would have already done it. We're spiritual seekers, and that we'd have already done it. He said, the solution we have here at Alcoholics Anonymous is a spiritual solution, and all of a sudden, you know how I am. I go, no way. I don't want that. He says, it's very simple, though. If you want what we have, you do what we do. And that, I got that. I got that part. I wanted what they had. And what they had was they were laughing. These guys were having a good time. And I was not. I was this dude. Don't laugh at a meeting. You know what I mean? This is serious business. And I wanted to laugh. I wanted to just kind of relax a little bit. I wanted to breathe again. You see, when I drink, I can breathe again. I'm like this. You give me a couple drinks, and I'm like, whew. And that's what I wanted. And that's what he said they had. And so he said it was simple. You just do what we do. And so I'm sitting there playing sober volleyball one night, and this dude Michael comes up to me and he says, hey man, we need you to go down to detox and speak this Sunday. I'm 12 days sober, mind you, okay? And I'm like, okay, all right, I'll do it. I just said yes. I don't know why I said it. I call my sponsor and say, hey John, they want me to go talk at detox. Said, oh God, you're going to kill them. Don't say anything. Don't say anything, please. And if you say anything, just at least tell the truth. Just tell the truth. He knew who I was, you know what I mean? So I go to this detox, and I figure they're not going to call on me, man. They don't want some 12 a day with a dude with 12 days to share anything. So we get down there, and I'm relaxed, you know, because I know I'm not going to say anything. They're not going to call on me. And they're like, okay, first will be Rob. I'm like, oh, shit, you know what I mean? So they call on me, and I'm like, okay, hi, I'm... And I'll tell you this, the ride up there, just so you know, this is the important part. The ride up there was brutal. It's 12:30. Mind you, on a Sunday. And up until this point, I'm a football guy, you know what I mean? Up until I got sober, I was a football guy. I ain't watched football in 6 years. You know what I mean? But I'm on the way up there going, we're missing the Bucks game. We're missing the Bucks game. This is bullshit. I don't see why we're going on a Sunday. Why do we do it on a Sunday? Let's do it on a Saturday. Let's do it on a Friday. Let's do it any day but a Sunday. Like, we do it on a Sunday. Fuck, man, do it on Sunday. So we go up there, and I don't get it. It doesn't make any sense. Why would we go up to a detox? I just got out of the damn thing, you know what I mean? So we get up there. And like they call on me, and I'm like, okay. I'm an alcoholic. My name's Rob. I got 12 days sober. My life sucks. It sucks, man. I can't stand myself. I can't stand anybody. I just hate life. But I got a big book. I got a sponsor, and I'm going to AA, and I think everything's going to be okay. Thanks for letting me share. Right? Like that. A cool thing happens. This dude comes up to me after the meeting. He goes, dude, if you can stay sober, I know I can stay sober. And I'm so gone, right? I'm so baked at this point that I thought that was a compliment. You know, I'm like, hell yeah, all right. You know what I mean? I felt good. I didn't get it for like 6 months. 6 months later, I'm like, damn, I think that dude was like saying I was worse off than him. He was. He was. But it did something to me, and that ride back was awesome. I'm like, can we do it again next week? Damn right, you're going to do it every week. Every week? Yeah. All right, I'm down. And I started doing that thing. I did that thing for like a year and a half every week. Never missed a Sunday. I loved it. I loved it. We'd be busting through traffic, beating traffic, you know, through the Bucks traffic and all that stuff, going there. And I was like, this is all right, man. I know what it's going to do. I know on the back end of that. And I remember being up there one time during the week. This is a cool story. I don't know how, I maybe like, I might have been like a year sober at this point. And I'm sitting in there. I get up there early. I went up alone one day. And Dick Drysdale comes in, right? I'm sitting there. I'm like, oh, there's Dick Drysdale. I know Dick Drysdale, right? You know? I'm like, hey, what's up? He's like, hello, young man. Would you like to read How It Works? He thought I was in there. You know what I'm saying? It's like a year sober, right? Like, talk about ego deflation. I was like, oh. So, but anyways. So I started doing these things, right? And I started to get this thing. And I didn't realize that I had done a third step prayer that first day getting sober. When that guy said, when my sponsor says, are you willing to go to any lengths? I said, I'll do whatever you ask me to do. And I did. That guy would say something and I'd do it. And a lot of times I didn't believe the stuff that he was telling me. He would tell me to do something. I said, that don't make any sense. And he'd say, I'd say, listen, man, I got problems with my wife. You know, we're arguing, blah, blah. He'd go, yeah, go to a meeting early. Dude, go to a meeting early. I said, no, my wife. Yeah, go to a meeting early. I say, all right, whatever. Go to a meeting early, whatever. And then sometimes I say, dude, man, the money is tight, man. Money's really bad right now. I got to figure this out. Yeah. You know what you need to do? Drive guys home from the meeting. I said, bro, dude, that doesn't make any sense. I don't even have the gas money, man. You're telling me to do this. And I did, but I did these things. I remember one time my sponsor, Wayne, I was telling him I was having these problems. And he told me to read this book on psychology. Okay, we don't do psychology around here. We do spiritual. And he hates that stuff, right? So he tells me to read this book on psychology. So I get the book, and I read it. Boom, boom, boom. And I said, Wayne, I don't get the terms in here. I mean, this is some really technical stuff you got me reading here. He goes, what's the name of the book? And I told him the name of the book. He goes, oh, that's the wrong book. Get this book. So I go back on Amazon, boom, boom, boom. I get this another book, right? And I read this book. And it's a little bit dummied down so a dumb like me can read it. So I'm reading the thing. And I'm reading. I was like, dude, this has nothing to do with nothing. And at the time, I was having problems with my wife. And I said, buddy, I read the first book, didn't get it. Then you made me buy another book. I bought another book, read it. It doesn't make any sense. It's all psychology and stuff. He goes, how are you and your wife getting along? I said, not bad. He said, see, the book worked. Yeah. And that's the thing. I got to just be willing. And there's been millions of cases like that. And, you know, since I came here, millions of miracles happened since I got sober. And I've been able to watch people get sober, and those are miracles. And even in my own life, I remember one time I was living in this condo. Thank you. I'm living in this condo, and I told Wayne, I said, dude, we are cramped, man. Four kids. By this time, I have more kids, right? Four kids, a wife in this two-bedroom condo in the shittiest of shitty neighborhoods, right? Not the shittiest, sunniest part of Florida, Drew Park, right? I'm sitting there, right? And I'm like, dude, this is brutal. He goes, buy a house. Buy a house. He goes, go buy a house. I said, buddy, I don't know how to buy a house. He goes, did you know how to get sober? I said, no. He goes, ask how to buy a house. I said, really? So I go ask this guy. I say, hey, how do you buy a house? He goes, you go over to this guy, and he'll tell you how to buy a house. I go over to this guy. He tells me how to fill out these papers. So I fill out the papers. He says, okay, then we got to do this, boom, 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 boom. And I just go through. I just follow directions. People are just telling me, you don't have to know how to buy a house. You have to know how to follow directions. And I knew how to follow directions because of what we were doing around here. And so I'm getting ready to close on this house. Me, my wife, my kids, all the kids are at Disney World celebrating because the next day we're moving into this badass house, right? And I got everything pretty much finalized except for one little thing. They're gonna clear that up that day, and we're gonna move in the next day. So we're celebrating, man. Things are hot, and I'm like, you know, sobriety's great. And so I get a phone call, and it's the realtor, and she's like, it's not happening. I said, whoa, bullshit, it ain't happening. I said, you make that shit happen. We're celebrating right now. This is happening. I'm moving in tomorrow. No, you're not. Yes, we are. No, they didn't do everything. They were supposed to do this inspection. They didn't do it. You're not moving in. I said, yes, we are. No, you're not. And I mean, it crushed me. I thought, damn, man, I'm sitting here getting sober. All this good stuff was happening. I already told everybody, man, I was ready to do it, you know, all this stuff. And I'm not moving in. I even had people ready to help me move. And it crushed me, man. That drive back from Disney World was brutal. And I'm thinking to myself, I don't get it, God. I just don't understand how you work. You know, you're supposed to be doing all this good stuff for me. I've been telling people in AA how good it is and all this stuff. And I get home, and I'm pissed, man. So I go on the internet. Facebook, baby. You know what I mean? Let's get away from it all. Right? So I get on Facebook or whatever. I'm just kidding. It wasn't Facebook. I went to my email. So I go to my email, and I check this email. And I know the name. Donna Smith, right? 813-377, I'm just kidding. Donna Smith, she's a realtor, right? And I know the name. And she's like, and it says, you probably don't remember me, but back in October, you looked at a house, you put a bid on it. It took so long. They accepted your offer. Now this, mind you, swear to God, I'm not fucking with you. I told people I wanted a white house, 2 palm trees, 2 car garage. I today live in a white house, 2 palm trees, 1 car garage. So my dream didn't come true, damn it. But you know what I'm saying? But yeah, it's crazy because I don't get it. You know, I don't get what God's purpose for me is. But he had this thing planned for me. If I would have been in that other house, I mean, this thing was a fixer-upper. You know what I mean? The house I moved into is perfect. It's already, you know, it was already ready to go. I mean, we've destroyed it since, but, you know, but it was nice at the time. We brought that neighborhood down, baby. You know what I mean? So there's been lots of stuff like that. And let me get back to getting sober. 10 minutes. Okay. I did a 4-step. My deal is, when I came to AA, it was you, it was you, it was you, it was the cops, it was the judge, it was the them, it was everybody's freaking fault. And when I did that 4-step, I started to see where I played a part in it. Thank God, because I was always trying to change the world so that I'd be okay. And it didn't work. And when I did that 4-step, I learned that I was the problem. And thank God I can change that. I also looked at all my fears and I understood why my fears were there. I saw that my disconnection from a higher power was the cause of all that. And then I looked at my harms list and I looked at all the people that I harmed and looked at some guilt and shame issues with that. I went and did a 5th step with that sponsor of mine, John. And by that time, I was ready to really get this thing going. You know, I was starting to get the benefits from Alcoholics Anonymous and the promises in the Big Book were starting to come true in my life. So I went out there and I did this 5th step. And it went pretty well. There was one little thing I left out, and I was about to walk out the door, and I said, one more thing. Blah, 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 blah. He's like, oh, yeah, everybody does that. I'm like, really? Okay, cool. And we hugged, and we were getting ready to go out to dinner and to celebrate, you know, me and my progress and all this stuff. So, but I got ill. I got physically ill. I think that thing wiped me out, man. And for like 2 weeks, I'm ill. And I'm thinking to myself, see, this AA thing, man, it's not like I hear people, they do a 5th step and all this magical stuff's going to happen. And I didn't feel it like that. But 2 weeks later, I'm driving down the road. I'm driving down Hillsborough. And I'm 5 months sober now. Okay? And up until this point, I am constantly obsessing over drinking. I want to drink all the time. I would see bars and I go, I drank there. I'd see a bar, I drank there. I see a gas station, I bought Budweiser tall boys there and drink on that curb right there behind that dumpster over there. I mean, everywhere. It's always drink, 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 right? Everywhere I went. And I'm driving down Hillsborough one day, and I went from Lois all the way to Florida. And I went, oh, whoa, whoa, something ain't right. Something ain't right. I thought like I forgot something or checking my underwear yet. You know, do I have my cell phone? Something's weird. Something ain't right. And I go, holy shit. I ain't thought about booze in about 10 minutes. And for me, that was a long, long, long time. And it hit me like a ton of bricks. And that was the point where I knew that God was with me. It freaked me out. It brought me to a place where I got to the traffic light. I'm at a red light. And tears start coming out of my eyes. And I thought to myself, holy shit. I'm not going to have to ever drink again if I keep this up. And I start weeping. I was happy. I was like feeling the freedom, finally. And I called Paul up. I said, Paul, you're not going to fucking believe this, man. Dude, you are not going to believe this, but there is a God. And he's like, yeah, that's what we talk about in AA every day. I mean, I was like, no, there's really a God. You know, I thought this was all like fluff and like, yeah, yahoo, you know, a party and all this stuff. But no, I was like, no, this God loves me. And man, I was on fire. I mean, I went balls to the walls with AA. Captain AA, man. I tell you what, if you asked me to do something, I was doing it. I mean, it didn't matter what. They'd be like, hey, Rob, at midnight tonight, could you come down in the middle of the night and just mop the floor? Hell yes. I'll do it at 2 a.m. too. You know what I mean? Whatever. And I would do everything, you know, and I was involved with everything. Every single committee I've been on, I'll do it again. You know what I mean? And I went buck wild, and I got them steps and started knocking them out, and I worked on making them amends. I worked on 6 and 7 first because I had to stop, man. I was doing all kinds of crazy stuff. I had to stop my behaviors, and then I had to invite God into that part of my thing too. And one of the things the analogy that I use is that I like to speed. Okay, I like to drive fast. I got to take my foot off that gas pedal. That's step 6. And then I got to ask God to keep my foot off that gas pedal. That's step 7. So I got to do my part, and then I got to invite him into there. And I start doing that with certain things. Obviously not with the cursing, but with a lot of things I do that, you know. And things start getting better, and I start making those amends. And I went out and did an amends. My first amends was with my mother. I was dreading it going up. My sponsor was like, go up there and paint her house. I went there and paint this house. Painted it all day. She comes home. And I was like, I'm thinking it's going to be this, you know, magical amends and all this stuff. I was going to be sitting down. Tears are going to be flying. I said, Mom, look, I did a lot of stuff. She's like, save it. Save it. It's okay. Keep doing what you're doing. She knew exactly what I was up there for. She let me off the hook. Called my dad up. Hey, Dad, I wanted to talk to you about something. Keep doing what you're doing, son. I'm like, damn, is anybody going to let me do a freaking amends? But I was free, man. You know what I mean? I started getting freedom. All that guilt and all that shame that I was carrying started going away. So I'm still making amends today, and that's where the freedom, that's where the icing on the cake, I think, comes, is right after that, because I'm free. I'm no longer being controlled by this. And then I work 10, 11, and 12 on a daily basis. And what I mean by that is I read 84 through 88, and then I do 84 through 88. I used to hear these guys talk about 84 through 88. I say 84 through 88. So I started reading it. Even before I was at that place in my life, I started reading this stuff, and I started doing it, One day it all clicked like Karate Kid, you know, you paint the fence, and he's like, but I came to learn karate, not paint fence, not wax a car. And that's the same thing with me. Eventually I get this thing, you know, and I got involved with some, it says be quick to see where religious people are right. So I started studying some other stuff, you know, other religious stuff and outside of what I was brought up in. And that started paying off because I started to be open-minded, and I learned how to be open-minded towards other beliefs. And these things started to work in my life, and I started to see how whatever religion, you know what I mean, works for me. I'll check out some of that even crazy stuff, you know what I mean, I'm not going to mention anything, but, you know, crazy stuff, right? I like it, you know what I mean? I love spiritual stuff. It works for me. I do a lot of sponsoring. I sponsor a lot of guys. I do a lot of meditation. As far as 11 goes, I do a lot of meditation as well. Daily meditation. I got 5 minutes. Cool. Okay. I want to talk about sponsorship for the last part. That home group I belong to, they stress sponsorship right off the bat. I was 2 months sober, and this dude Bob Kelly would come up to me. How many guys you sponsoring, Rob? I say, I ain't sponsoring none, dude. What are you talking about? I'm 2 months sober. He's like, you better, you're going to die. Every week, this dude is coming up to me. You better start sponsoring people, or you're going to die. And I go back to my sponsor, the one I was having. I said, dude, this dude's telling me if I don't sponsor people, you're going to die. He goes, oh, he's crazy. He don't know what he's talking about. You'll sponsor him later on. You know, you got to wait. You got to wait a long time or whatever. And that guy John doesn't believe that anymore. You know, he believes in sponsorship right off the bat. I mean, because he watched what I did. I had to get another sponsor because I believed what Bob was telling me. I thought that it was important that I start passing this thing on. I wore my steps. I had a spiritual experience, and then I started. My first sponsee I got on those steps right there, right out here. I'm sitting here, and I wasn't planning on it, but I'm hanging out with these guys who were go-getters in AA, and I'm sitting there. We're all talking about going to get pizza over there on the island afterwards and all this stuff. And dude's like, there's your guy. I said, what the hell are you talking about? There's your guy. These guys are coming off the bus, right? The treatment center bus. I'm like, oh, shit. What do you mean? There's my guy. Get him. Get him. I'm like, I don't know how to get him. What are you talking about? He's like, we're going to get him. We're going to get this son of a bitch, right? So he's wondering, this is your sponsor. Talking about me. I'm like, whoa, yeah. You're going to call him every day. I'm going, you're going to call me every day, man. You want to get sober, right? Yeah, all that stuff. And that was my first sponsor. I caught on to it, man. I start fishing for these guys. Where's that new guy, by the way? Oh, I'm getting you after this meeting, buddy. You're mine. You know? That kind of shit, you know. And if you've been in Monday Night Madness, you know how we do it over there. It's like, boom, we will knock your ass over to get to the new guy. And I learned how to do that stuff because we want to stay sober. And I sponsor a lot of guys. And It's a two-way street. I want to share this one experience and then I'm out of here. I sponsored this one guy. And I helped him through a really rough time he had. He had a couple years sober, and he comes up to me one day. He's like, "Listen, man, I want what you have. I like your style and all this stuff. Will you sponsor me?" I said, "Sure. Would you be willing to go to any lengths?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "So we started over. We just started from the very beginning. I walked him through the steps, and we went through some stuff. It's a two-way street. You know, I learned some stuff from him and all this stuff. Great, you know." He goes, moves on. He goes back with his old sponsor, and years later, I still talk to him and all that stuff. We're still buddies. And I was talking to him a few weeks ago. And he said, "Hey, how are you doing?" Talking to me. I said, "You know, I'm doing good. But this morning, you know, I was going through this self-pity shit, man. This negative thinking again." He said, "Yeah?" He said, "Listen, man, I tapped into something that you might be interested in." I said, "What you got?" You know what I mean? Usually, I don't take advice from guys I've sponsored before because that's fucking bullshit. You know what I mean? No, I'm just kidding. But for real, there's something in me. There's an ego that says, "Hell no, don't listen to that guy. You taught him everything he knows. What the hell are you going to learn from him?" Right? That's the ego's telling me that. But I said, "You know what? I'm gonna listen to him. I'm going to practice some humility. I'm going to listen to him." And he sold me on this prayer. This I don't pray. I'm not a prayer. If you watch me, I don't pray. But he sold me on this idea about prayer. And I said, "You know what, man? I'm going to give that thing a shot. I don't usually do that, but I'm going to go ahead and give this a shot." And I've been practicing it. And this guy taught me a huge lesson in humility and in prayer. He knows what the hell he's doing. You know, he's got it down. It's not like fluff or whatever. And it's improved my life dramatically. And so it's a two-way street. I learned that from Craig DeLoach, who was my sponsor at one time as well. I have to shut up because my time's up. I could sit up here for like 10 hours and talk about all the cool stuff that's happened. I wasn't bullshitting when I said that YPG is probably my favorite group. I watch you guys. I've watched you since I started getting sober, and I send everybody I can over this way because I know that you all are doing the deal. Keep it up. It's great, and thank you for my sobriety.